Welcome to the Remington Podcast, where we take a deep dive into all things ammunition. I'm your host, Audrey Mays, and today is Turkey Fool's Day. To celebrate, we are sitting down with our resident Tom Slayer, Director of Centerfire Products, Chris Carson, the shot shell expert himself, Ronnie Evans, and the guy who has never gotten his turkey but won't give up hope, Remington Gun Club Supervisor, Justin Hefner. We're touching on all things turkey, from conservation to grand slams and camo to ammo. If gobbles in the woods are what keep you up at night, you're not going to want to miss this one. Let's dive in. So today, we're going to talk about everything turkeys. And so I know that Chris Carson, you're a big turkey hunter. That's why you're here. And I was wondering how you were brought up in the turkey world.
I wasn't. I just started hunting them in college as a thing to do, really. There's a bunch of guys, we went to school here in Arkansas, so there wasn't the pressure back then, I don't think, so it was a little easier to find a place to go. Turkeys in the hills. And then you just kind of figured it out, so that was 30 years ago.
So starting as an adult.
Yeah.
And then do you call, or did you teach yourself to call? What's your...
Yeah, it was one of those trial by fire things. Everybody got a mouth call at Walmart and watched a VHS tape back then. Or you rented one.
Yeah, it was VHS.
And it was, I can do that. And you'd figure out real quick you called too much and screwed it up, or calling too loud, or what. So you just kind of sit and observe because... You know, turkeys are weird animals. Mm-hmm. They're shapeshifters. They're odd. They're the only animal you hunt that changes colors. Their head changes colors. And why are we chasing this thing? I don't know. They drive you bananas.
Yeah. Is that what got you hooked? Is that they just drive you crazy?
Yeah. And it's like, I don't even know how to describe it. I mean, you hate them one day and then you can't wait to go back the next day because they kicked your butt. So... You know, it's a deer is okay. I'll see that deer in 2 days, but turkey, you never know what they're going to do. I mean, they may have the same roost tree depending on what state you're hunting in or same part of the woods, but they may go quiet and you never hear from them again, or they're henned up and don't want to talk, or they everything falls into place and it works just right like it's supposed to, but those days are fewer than the others.
Yeah, sounds a lot like elk hunting. That's what I've heard people call turkey hunting, a poor man's elk hunting.
No. Oh, I don't know. I've never elk hunted. So,
oh, okay, yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
I think it's just because you can talk to them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's cool. I mean, anytime you can work an animal that you communicate with, mm-hmm. I think that's a good deal. That's what's cool about duck hunting too, right? But I've heard turkeys gobble. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been on a couple of hunts unsuccessfully, mm-hmm. but I've heard them gobble, and that's a pretty cool thing to hear them off in a distance gobble or just respond to something that's owl hoot or a crow call or even if you're trying, you know, you're mimicking a hen and to hear that, that's a pretty cool deal.
Yeah. Justin, you've turkey hunted most of your life. How'd you get into it?
I would say most of my life, but only like 30 days consecutively or collectively. I grew up hunting with my dad and my grandpa up in northwestish Arkansas, kind of up in the hills. And, you know, we go open a weekend every year and it may work out and it hasn't for me yet, but it's been like 15 years. So, but like they've said, it's cool to work an animal. When you hear them across, we work a lot of canyons and stuff. So you'll hear them two valleys over or whatever, and it's cool to kind of meet in the middle and work with them. It's a lot of fun. It's really irritating.
Yeah. You're the only person ever who's showed me a game cam picture and been excited because you've seen a turkey on it.
Yeah. So we recently started hunting in South Arkansas, and that's where my dad put up the cameras, and they're just deer cameras. They just happen to be walking by. Mm-hmm. And so if we know they're in that area the day before, they're still going to probably be in that area the next morning. So if we can get up early enough, and this one just happens to be right across from our cabin, so we can get out and sit on the front porch and start calling, and there's just nowhere to go from there.
Hopefully,
yeah.
Yeah, that's the goal every time, right? So one of the cool things about turkey hunting is the guns. Ronnie says that I shoot a turkey gun to shoot ducks with.
Yeah, it's a little short-barreled thing, like 20, 2 to 24 inch barrel. That's kind of the turkey range.
Yeah. So what makes a turkey gun a turkey gun?
Well, you know, there's when you turkey hunt, that's the only time you ever aim a shotgun, right? Because most every time else you're pointing it at, mm-hmm. at moving objects. You know, a turkey, you actually aim it. So you see a lot of guys going that with the shorter, people going with a shorter barrel, or even because it's a little easier to carry in the woods, and it's not you don't have a swing you're messing with there. Shorter barrel's a little easier to point. Mm-hmm. That's why you're seeing a lot of the sub gauge come on with the 410s and the 20 gauge stuff, lighter, smaller guns to tote and carry, because everything I've heard and been involved with any turkey hunting, there's a lot of walking involved. So something you're carrying a lot less, you already got a vest full of gear with calls and stuff and decoys, and to have a gun that's light and easier to carry, that's a big deal. So, but that's what I think a lot of those guys like, the sub gauge as well. But you know, the shorter barrels, aftermarket choke tubes is a big deal too, right? So when you're coming to, you know, what makes a turkey gun. So, you know, that's the one, those guys that shoot turkeys, tend to be just, driven to learn patterns, right? So they buy early on, they might buy several types of shells or brands of ammunition and maybe try one to two, sometimes three different choke tubes, right? So to get what they're looking for. And then generally when they find what they like, that's what they stick with for quite some time. Is that probably a true statement?
Yeah. And the turkey game has changed even in the last 5-10 years, just with the shot changing.
Yeah, TSS, right?
I mean, TSS or, you know, the bismuth, not bismuth, but the non-lead shot, non-talk stuff migrated over from the waterfowl side too. But that's changed people's need to have a 3.5 necessarily 12 gauge, right, or 10 gauge. And so there's still plenty of people using those, and there's no reason to change for them or whatever. And that's fine. But some people view it more as a challenge to use a smaller gauge, or just want a smaller gun, which, you know, you shoot a 20 gauge versus a 10 gauge, and it's night and day of recoil and
more
punishment. That
a little
you
more do. Pleasant,
you,
isn't it?
You start patterning turkey guns, and it can be painful. we were in Nebraska one time, and there were, I don't know, I think there were 8 or 10 riders, and this is back when guns and ammo were together. And we were the gun and ammo sponsor, and there were riders from all over. Well, since I was the Remington guy there, it was, hey, you need to pattern these guns while we're here. Well, the GoPro guy was there too. So he thought it was real funny that, you know, how much shooting I was having to do. So he mounted a camera on the table so you
looking
could see
at
the
you?
Recoil.
Oh.
And, I mean, you develop a flinch whether you want to or not when
yes.
you're shooting those big guns. But so those days are don't have to be that way anymore if you don't want to shoot that stuff. So with stuff like TSS, you can have more downrange energy. You're going to run out of pattern before you're going to run out of energy when you're shooting that type of product. You know, you can have the lethality with the smaller shot and not be toting a big heavy gun. You know, I'm shooting a compact 20 gauge, you know, that I migrated over from one of my kids and was like, this is perfect. You know,
sure.
It's nimble, it's not heavy. And, you know, I think I've got one of TruLok's chokes in there, which works great with our number nines. You know, don't need anything else. You migrating over from lead to that stuff, if you traditionally use lead, you might be surprised at the patterns or the distances you can close in. So, you know, sometimes, well, maybe this is out of my comfort zone. I've shot turkeys at 50 yards that I would have not even thought about shooting with standard older turkey loads.
Yeah,
and
sure.
And by no means is this a sales pitch to if what works for you to change, but you know, it's, you know, people are always tinkering, turning knobs and deer hunting and duck hunting and whatever, and turkey hunting is just another game where you can alter what you're doing and see if you like use different gear. But to me, it's lighter guns are easier to fill with, you know, shorter barrels, like you were mentioning, just especially if you're, you know, leaned against a tree and you got to move around, less, you know, shorter barrel lengths are easier to manipulate.
Mm-hmm. What do you shoot?
I agree with everything they said, but I'm the exact opposite. I've got a 12 gauge with a 30 inch barrel on it. So, but it's super light, and I've got a slow-mo video of me shooting the TSS in my pattern, and it's just rocking me back and forth.
Yeah.
But I only had to shoot it like once a year. So it ain't that big a deal.
Right. And that's why we sell, or like, that's why Remington has 5 shell packs, right? Cause mm-hmm. technically you need 2 to pattern.
Yeah.
Ish.
Couple. Yeah.
And then 3 to kill turkey.
You get turkey. That's right.
So it's unless you're sighting in 8 guns, then you need a lot more.
Then maybe buy more boxes.
Yeah.
But people may go through investment. A lot more than that, especially if they're tinkering with choke tubes. You might go through several loads. And
sure might.
And you'll know it when you shoot one of those big ones.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Are we? Do we agree or not agree with shooting Jakes? Are we all Toms all the time?
You can't shoot one in Arkansas.
Yeah, it's not allowed. Arkansas. I can see a guy who's never killed a turkey be excited and that, you know, kill his first one, because that's a pretty tough thing to do, right? Because I've always heard a turkey can see you think and watch you change your mind, right? So they see well. So just for you to be able to be still to get him within 35 yards or so to shoot him with lead, and even if it is a Jake, they tend to be a little less educated than one that's got a long beard. But yeah, the state of Arkansas, you can't. But I could see where a guy who's never killed one like me or Justin here get a little excited and want to dust one. But I who wouldn't rather kill a Tom with a 9-inch beard?
Right.
And an inch and a half spurs.
Beautiful spread. Yeah.
So that's the goal, right?
Yeah.
So
I get that. The my only experience with turkeys is domesticated turkeys that you show in FFA.
I got you.
Yeah. And they're dumber than a box of rocks. So when people are like, oh, wild turkeys, you know, they're so fun to hunt because they're so smart. I just don't believe it. I've seen a turkey drown itself in the rain. Okay. So I'm like, I'm not really interested.
Yeah, you got to remember those were bred for certain things. This for meat.
Right.
It wasn't bred. They wasn't survival, right? They depended on human beings to survive. Yeah. So it's a little different turkey.
They're not trying to live.
Yes, that's
wild
right.
Turkeys, everything's trying to kill it.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's mode. Main operation is to survive. So whether it's coyotes or people or dogs or owls, you know, a lot of turkeys get killed by owls sitting in a tree gobbling, you know. So it's, you know, their main function is survival. So are they smart? I have no idea. But they're super skittish and don't want to do anything that will jeopardize their future.
Yeah.
Incriminate their life, right?
They need to feel comfortable, right, to get their strut on. Yeah. My other experience, and this is why I'm not a turkey hunter. I grew up on 20 acres in South Texas, right? And my dad had it set up. Well, we had 2 feeders, one in the front of the property that went off in the morning and one in the back of the property that went off in the evening. And so 10 to 30 turkeys in the morning, you could look at my bedroom window and see them walking towards the feeder in the front. And then right when you got home from school, the same 10 to 30 turkeys are walking to the feeder in the back. So it's just no, I guess I just didn't see a challenge in it, but I love to watch them. So sure. I get it. You know, they're cool looking.
Well, most of the time you're not hunting out your house window. So there's a little bit more challenge.
Yeah.
You know, depending on where you go in the country, things change too. I mean, we're in Arkansas and most of it's big woods type hunting, which is going to be completely different than if you're in the Midwest or somewhere else. You know, here it's an audible game a lot of times, and you can have them gobbling from your 40 yards away and cannot see them, especially in April when things have turned green. You can hear them and you're trying to get ready and close the deal, but, you know, and they're firing off every time you make a cluck, but, you know, it doesn't happen. But if you're in Kansas or Nebraska or South Dakota, you might see that turkey half a mile away and you're trying to sneak up and get in a position and do something different. Or you see them in the mornings in a tree still, even, you know, they're in a big cottonwood or whatnot, and you make your way or you know where they're going to be, and completely different approach. that's why some people say it's easier to kill a turkey in the Midwest, because it's easier to see them. But I think the Easterns are personally harder to shoot. Osceolas can be pretty cranky too if they're in the timber as well. But everywhere you're at, it's going to be a little bit different. But just to me, the stuff around here it's harder for me to kill a turkey in Arkansas than it is anywhere else.
Mm-hmm. And you've killed turkeys in other states?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, I guess that's the chase then, isn't it?
Yeah, that's where right. People go bananas and they're trying to kill all four, you know, the different subspecies for the Grand Slam, you know, the Osceola, the Rio, the Eastern, Merriam, you know, that you can kill all four in 1 year, or you can, there's no time limit on killing a Grand Slam, but some people, that's a challenge of doing them all in one season, or doing them all with the same gauge gun, shotgun. You know, there's people trying to do all four with a 410 in one season, and that's a run. But it's just another one of those challenges people add to themselves.
Yeah.
The one thing I noticed about working the National Wild Turkey Federation convention in Nashville is that's where, you know, everybody's turkey hunters there. Mm-hmm. Is they are the guys who are serious turkey hunters, by granny, they're serious about their turkey hunting. I mean, it's almost religious.
It's like a cult following.
Yes. I mean, I remember watching guys walk by and they had the necklaces with the spurs on them and everything. And I had this young man come up to me, and he had a necklace on. I'm going to say this young man was probably 14. Mm-hmm. And he had a necklace wrapped around his head. I mean, he had a bunch of
them. It's like duck bands here.
Oh, yes. It's like duck bands here. And I said to him, I said, did you kill all them turkeys? Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Me and my dad, we hunt multiple states. I said, well, how many have you killed? He said, I've killed 80. I said, you're 14, 15. Turkeys. He's killed 80 turkeys. And he's had a sister that's a little older than him, has killed 88. And then he had a older sister than that had broke 100. I mean, those folks were serious about shooting turkeys. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's as serious as it gets, right? So, but the people who are serious about turkey hunting, like I said, they are serious about turkey hunting.
Yeah.
So it's pretty neat how they do that, right?
And,
so
yeah, and that show NWTF, I've heard stories, you know, calling all day long everywhere, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and people have their own style and their own strategy, and there's tons of different like styles of calls you can use.
Oh yeah.
What are you guys familiar with call wise?
So I use three primarily, you know, a pot call, which can be different media. You can have glass, you can have aluminum, you can have ceramic. You know, that's a cylinder, flat disc, and you're making different calls with a striker. You're making different calls. That's pretty common, easy to learn on. Mouth calls are probably harder to learn on than a box call. And people can go wonky in any direction on these, just like you can duck calls. You know, there's custom calls for turkey calls, mm-hmm. just like there are duck calls, where someone here may spend $200 on a duck call and not think anything about it. But if you said, hey, that turkey call is $200 for that mm-hmm. box call that's made of whatever exotic wood, well, I didn't even know that existed. But yeah, they're out there. And places like the NWTF, you've got those custom call guys that are making stuff. But back to the calls, the box call is probably the quick and dirty, easy that most people are going to start with. Mm-hmm. You know, you can get into them, you know, pretty inexpensively, and you know, you're just swinging a boat paddle. So that's what they call it. Whether you do it right or not, it's going to make a noise. So
right.
Sometimes the worst calling you ever hear makes a turkey gobble. So.
I mean, that's what I use as a box call.
Yeah, which is, you know, perfectly fine. You know, I'm no expert on any of them. I can make a noise. But, you know, there's different levels, of course, that sound better. And sometimes the more you spend, the better they sound, or maybe not. But, you know, some of them are pretty attractive, you know, with inlays. And, you know, you can go crazy on that stuff too. But in the end, you got to try to outsmart a bird with a brain the size of a pea.
Which is pretty embarrassing, yeah. Considering Justin's never killed one. What do you use?
That's right.
What kind of call do you use?
I've just got the traditional box call. Like he said, it's probably the easiest to start on and learn.
Yeah.
And then I've got three different mouth calls that's got different cuts or the reeds. And I don't know. I've got one that's my favorite. I couldn't tell you which one it is. It's the red one of my three set. And those do pretty good. My dad, if he's with me, he's got two or three different types of he's got the standard box call, but his is from, you know, 1984. So it's a little more aged and traditional. Mm-hmm. And then he's got a couple mouth calls, but we'll just sit there and go back and forth if we're hunting together, just try to get different sounds going. And then whatever starts working, we'll kind of focus on that for a minute and then see how it goes from there.
But yeah. Do you guys usually, either one of y'all, go with another person, or do you usually go by yourself?
I usually go with my dad.
Yeah.
I've hunted with as many as five people in one sitting, which is really complicated with eyes. And we're trying to have my two boys, we were in Kansas and turkeys came and we couldn't split up. So we had five people wadded up in cottonwoods and, you know, you got eagle eyes looking at you. And fortunately we had one go down. So, but usually most turkey hunters, I would say, probably want to hunt by themselves. Mm-hmm. But hunting in pairs is not uncommon at all. I mean, maybe you'll have a caller and a shooter that's, you know, I've done that several times. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's fun because especially if it's your turn to shoot, you can be set up and have somebody calling you behind you. And that turkey's looking for the caller. So you have an advantage a little bit. So they're looking for where that turkey's come from, and maybe you're at an angle or something and they're ignoring you or not seeing you. But, I would guess there's probably more individual turkey hunters than there are anything else, just because it's a game of solitude.
Yeah. Like you gotta be silent and not move. So mm-hmm. it's not like a social scene.
It's not duck hunting where you're, you know, hey, 10's a party, let's go.
Yeah.
You know, deer hunting, you can put a couple, three people in a blind sometimes if you need to or want to, but, you know, when you're, especially with kids these days, you're trying to keep them still and all that. The more motion you have, the harder things are. And, you know, it's, like I said, I think it's more of a, hey, I'm going to go and I'm by myself. So it's a game of vision. So whatever you can do to minimize that, if it's one less person, that's one less movement you have to worry about.
Yeah. Less people, less movement, less sound. Right. So it all,
but hunting with pairs is fun. I enjoy it too. It's especially with your own kids. I mean, trying to get them on a bird.
Yeah. So Ronnie, we have three different kinds of Remington turkey loads sitting in front of you.
Yep.
Can you tell us a little bit about each one?
Sure. Let me start with our opening price point product, and this is our Nitro Turkey. This is something we've been making for years and years, and selling a 10-pack like this. Mm-hmm. We have it in several different shot sizes, 4s, 5s, and 6s. A couple of different – we have it in 12 and 20-gauge both. I think we have a 20-gauge in this as well. This box here happens to be 2 3/4, but we also load it in 3-inch and 3.5s. And obviously the bigger the shell, the heavier the payload. So, and all of our turkey loads are manufactured with 4% antimony shot. Mm-hmm. So this particular one just has 4% in it. And what does the harder shot get me? Well, when you do pattern testing and things of that nature, the harder the shot, it helps it pattern better, right? So it's also the buffering, the little white stuff you see inside the looks like almost like real coarse ground salt or something, right?
Sea salt, yeah.
Those things, the better the buffer, the harder the shot, they have a more consistent, denser pattern than one without. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's why we put more antimony in the shot to make it harder. So that's your Nitro Turkey. The other one we have here is also a lead, right? Mm-hmm. It's going to be 4%, but it's also copper plated, and this is our Premier Magnum Turkey High Velocity. So we're running this at 1300 feet per second, where this other stuff's running around 1200. Mm-hmm. Right, but also because it's copper plated, when the copper plating on the shot, it gives it a little lubricity. It helps it. It like lets it flow through the choke tube better. Mm-hmm. So the copper plating even improves the shot pattern over without
the filler.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's still got filler, but this being copper plated, there's less drag and less chance of deforming against lead on lead.
Oh, gotcha.
It's kind of like mm-hmm. it's kind of like a lubrication.
Right.
Okay. So that's what you get with that. And because of the feet per second, you get a little more range. This is going to be 30 to 35 yards. Mm-hmm. Okay. When you get to this Premier Magnum velocity, you're talking 40, maybe 45 yards. Mm-hmm. Okay. But then you get over into the TSS. So what makes TSS the granddaddy or whatever? It's the 18 grams per cc density weight. Lead is 11.6.
Okay.
TSS is 18. So it's considerably heavy. Chris made a remark a while ago, you're going to run out of pattern before you run out of energy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I've said this before on other podcasts or advertisements. TSS is the serious ammunition for the serious turkey hunter. Mm-hmm. This is the guy who's going to have, not that he can't be serious with these.
Right.
Because it's about the investment. This is a little more expensive. So that's what we get into. But this is the pinnacle. This is as good as it gets in the turkey world is TSS. We make it a 9 and 7 shot. We have it in 12, 20, and 410, all of them 3-inch configurations. But you also want to team it up with a good TSS choke tube. Mm-hmm. You know, Carson talked a while ago about TruLock. TruLock makes a good one. Rob Roberts makes good ones. Carlson, Kickstar, everybody makes a good choke tube, right? But much like finding the right bullet weight for your rifle, sometimes one choke tube performs a little better than your and another in your shotgun because of bore diameter differences in each gun, because all manufacturers have a little bit different bore diameters.
Right.
Forcing cones in the gun may be a little different. So those things will manipulate or affect the shot, the density of the pattern. So that's when you start looking at different shot sizes in this. You look at different choke tubes, but when you find that recipe, you tend to stay with that because it's giving you what you're looking for, right? So, but this is the pinnacle of what we make for turkey hunting is the TSS, Premier TSS. So,
what range would you shoot a turkey
with? You know, much like Chris said a while ago, you run out of energy. Or you run out of pattern before you run out of energy. You know, this is legitimate 50 yards, mm-hmm. right? Even though we don't advocate long distance shots, right? Because you want to be ethical. But this gives you the range, and that's what makes it so popular, right? Mm-hmm. So if you have the turkey that hangs up at 55 yards, I think you'd be fine. Take a poke at him, right?
This is the guy for that. Yeah.
So, you know, like I said, we've had stories of guys killing turkeys at 60 yards with a 410 mm-hmm. with TSS. So again, not advocating that, but just to kind of let you know what the possibilities are, right? So yeah. This is the pinnacle.
Gotcha. Yeah. So, the big daddy of the ammo world.
That's it. When it comes to turkey hunting.
Yeah. So you want them to get close to you, right? So,
yeah. I would think the closer the better, right?
Yeah. In order to do that, you want them to not see you. So what kind of camo do you guys don when you go turkey hunting?
You're looking at me.
I'm looking at you.
So if you're in Arkansas, you're typically in a same type of stuff you'd wear deer hunting around here, you know, a bottomland or green camo. But if you're out west or midwest, it's a completely different viewpoint. Mm-hmm. You know, you take that camo that you would traditionally wear here, you look like a really dark spot, and you can see somebody out there and go, well, they're not really hidden. So out there, I've taken anything from net gear to even solids, you know, light browns or whatnot, because you're trying to blend in with light browns, grays, khaki colors. Where here, it's especially if you're in, you know, hardwood forests that are super dark and have dark spots and, you know, green leaves, it's different. So it's really specific to where you are. But, you know, in the South, you can get away with the same stuff from Florida to, you know, Indiana to Arkansas and Missouri, all that's, I would say, if you're hunting, the terrain is similar and the view is similar, but people are probably going to wear something different in Texas and Oklahoma, you know, as they would here, just because of the visibility. And is it a mental deal? I don't know. I mean, I've walked up on a turkey in blue jeans and a white t-shirt from, not kidding, from here to the door, because he had a hen with him and he was gobbling. Yeah. But, you know, the next day that bird was nowhere to be seen, but he had one thing on his mind and it wasn't me. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we think we're outsmarting these things with colors of camo. Doesn't matter. I don't know. Camo's for the hunter. It's not for the bird. Yeah. Same with deer hunting.
I've heard the general rule with turkeys is just don't wear blue or red. Because isn't that like the color of their beard and their head?
It's more of a, yeah, well, that's true too. But it's a movement thing.
Yeah, I can see that.
It's a movement thing. You know, deer stands have been there for forever, and turkeys walk by it, and that doesn't bother them. But, you know, you can sit in a deer stand and they see you move. So it's, like I said, camo's for the hunter.
Gotcha.
But I think it does break up your appearance and so makes a difference.
We won't be seeing you in a ghillie suit. Is that what you're saying?
No, probably not.
And are you into the face paint, Justin?
No, I've got the beard, so I got a little bit of it, but we just use regular face masks.
The ones you like bring up here.
A little net face mask.
Yeah, that makes sense. Carson, you paint face? You
got more paint? We have words for those that paint face, but I'll refrain from that. Each to their own, you know, whatever works. But no, I'm just face mask guy. It's just easy to drop it down, pick it up, pull it off over your head. Especially with kids, it's easier. Okay, I've got a pocket full of 6 face masks. And, you know, here you go, put this on before we get going in the morning.
You don't just stick your hand in the mud and smear it?
I do not do that. No, we don't. So
I feel like that's the better move. Anyways.
Makes for better stories.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Do y'all have any last thoughts about turkey hunting?
Following up what I said this morning, they're shapeshifters. I mean, they just drive you. You know, I'll get where in parts of the season, I don't want to do this anymore. Why am I doing this? But then you, okay, let's go back tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So even if you've killed 0 or 100, the mindset's still, I think, similar. You know, it's just kind of what you know, if you like to turkey hunt, it's what you kind of look forward to in March and April or May, depending on what state you're in. Hey, let's see if we can outsmart these stupid things.
Yeah. I mean, I assume that's what keeps bringing people back. Yeah. The cool thing, what I like about turkeys is they're like the number one example of the American conservation story. You know, you can find them everywhere in the lower 48 now.
Yeah. Yep. And they have they've had their trouble too, even here recently in this, you know, the South. There's ebbs and flows in populations. Mm-hmm. And what's the cause? I mean, I'm not a biologist, but you know, everybody's got an opinion. But you know, it's through conservation efforts of, you know, companies like us or NWTF or whatever that have, you know, made them successful. You know, otherwise, you know, they would be gone.
Yeah. With the wind.
Well, you know, you always looked at when you say conservation and preservation of something. Mm-hmm. I've always said if you want a species to thrive, put a hunting season on it.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's where your hunter puts their dollars, right? That's where they put their efforts. That's how NWTF gets started. All these other things get started. That's because the hunter wants to see that species that they're hunting thrive. So that's a resource that they're going to throw money at and their time and all that to make sure it does that. So obviously a turkey was one of those like that. You know, years ago, there wasn't the same thing with white-tailed deer in Arkansas. Mm-hmm. Back in 60s and 70s, there wasn't many white-tailed deer here. And now they're everywhere too, right? So the beauty of a turkey, what I've always heard and learned about, they're much like a wild hog. They can live off about anything. Mm-hmm. You know, they can live off anything. So so they're pretty resilient animals. But like Chris is talking about now, we used to have a lot more turkeys in the state than what we're seeing now. Don't know what that is, but they're resilient animals. They can thrive.
Oh yeah. I mean, that's just the ebb and flow.
Yeah. Right? Well, there's more hunting pressure too, I think.
Yeah.
I think there's more people that want to try it. You know, it's extending your hunting opportunity. You know, you're not just bow hunting or gun hunting or duck hunting and, in the fall, hey, this is a whole nother opportunity, and hey, my friends do it, or my, you know, relatives do it, I'm going to extend my, you know, chance to get in the woods. So that's created more pressure. Mm-hmm. You know, there are certain states around us that have gone to draws for turkeys because, you know, they're getting pounded from out-of-staters and, you know, they've got to do what they've got to do to preserve their resource. You know, there's politics around all that, but everybody wants to shoot a turkey. So they get, you know, some states have a pretty lengthy season. Some states it's pretty short. So there's a lot of people making noise at them and trying to catch up with one.
Yeah. Well, predator mitigation is a big part of that. We were talking about coyote hunting earlier. So, you know.
And coyotes and raccoons, I think, is bad on turkey clutches. I've always heard, too. They're bad on eggs and things of that nature during the spring. So.
Yeah. There you have it, guys. Remington is on the rise. We're doing a merch giveaway for this episode, so if you'd like a chance to win, click that download button on whatever platform you're streaming this podcast. Share the episode on your Instagram story and tag Remington 1816 to enter. As always, be sure to like, comment, subscribe, and share this podcast with your hunting or shooting buddies. Be on the lookout for the next episode. You can find us anywhere you can stream podcasts. And for more Remington content, follow us on all social media platforms at Remington 1816. Interesting in seeing the people you hear? Watch this podcast episode on YouTube. Our page is youtube.com/@Remington. If you have any questions or have a topic you'd like us to talk about, feel free to email us at podcast@remington.com. Thanks for listening.